Hello and welcome back to Instant Mom, navigating solo foster and adoptive motherhood while attempting a go at sanity. So I thought I would do a podcast of what it is like to get a call for a placement because I just got a call for a placement and we said yes. So earlier this afternoon, I received a text message from the placement worker who just so happens to be somebody I know well. He was Jack's caseworker before he accepted a new role as a placement worker. And so basically his job is to take in calls about children who have been removed or are going to be removed. And then he calls foster families and tries to find a place for them. And then if the foster family says yes, he then passes them off to the child's caseworker, and then it's kind of off to the races. So he sent me a text message. Usually it's a phone call, but again, because we sort of have a relationship, he texted me. And he said, we have two babies that are going to be discharged from the hospital this weekend, and we need homes for them. And I said, all right, tell me about them. And the first baby, he said, had a lot of trauma. He was severely physically abused and had a skull fracture, multiple broken bones, brain bleeds, was in really, really bad condition. And the second was a little girl who was being removed for substance abuse at birth. I think the boy was like 3 months old and the girl was a newborn. And first of all, it's just, I don't know how anyone can do that to a child. I don't know how anyone could do that to an adult. but to a baby, like, how do you do something so cruel and evil? I mean, you know, I remember, you know, when I first clipped Jack's fingernails when he was a baby, and one time I accidentally clipped his skin because it's so hard to clip baby fingernails, and he bled and he just screamed and I cried and just felt like the worst person on the planet. And I can't imagine, it's just so sick. I mean, clearly people who do that to babies or children have something terribly wrong with them. So anyway, so I had to decide between these two babies. And just because of the fragile medical condition that the baby boy was in, we opted to go for the baby girl. I was really afraid that Jack, being 3 years old and not quite knowing how to be gentle with a newborn, would accidentally hurt the baby boy and make his injuries so much worse. I mean, he's in such fragile condition already, and I didn't think being in a home with a single parent and a three-year-old would necessarily be the safest place for him to recover, just because, you know, sometimes Jack can try to cuddle a little too aggressively. So we said yes to the baby girl, and when I said yes, then he sent me a little bit more info about her, which wasn't a lot, just sort of why she was being removed and if she had other siblings and if she had any medical conditions, and that was kind of it, and her name, which she actually does not have a name yet. I think that her mom will name her in the next couple of days, but for right now, she does not have a name. So I'm going to call her Maggie. So he texted me the details that he had, and I said, yep, we are a yes. And then he said, okay, great. I will let the baby's caseworker know, and she will call you and will give you some additional information. So a few hours later, I got a phone call from the baby's caseworker, and she sort of told me again what she knew, which was a little bit more detail than what the placement worker knew. And she was really lovely. And the fact that we got a call from her at all is great, because sometimes when you say yes and the caseworker comes and drops off the baby, you don't hear from them for like weeks. So it was really fantastic that the caseworker called us before we even accepted placement and talked to us. That was really fantastic and is a sign of a great caseworker. So I'm already really pumped about that. So because the baby is still in the hospital because she was just born, she said, I will let the hospital social worker no to give you a call when she has an idea of when the baby is going to be discharged, which will be sometime this weekend, tomorrow or potentially Sunday. So now we just wait to hear from the hospital social worker. And usually when they call, they are saying that you can come get the baby that day. So hopefully I'll get a call early tomorrow and have a few hours of notice before I need to go pick her up so that I can get a sitter to watch Jack while I do that and so that I can drag out all of the baby stuff. So that is the waiting game. I called my mom to tell her, which is never fun because, as I've mentioned before, she does not want me to foster, which I understand. She is coming from a place of love for her baby, and she's just scared that I am going to take on too much and that I'll be run down emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, and you know, she wants to look out for me, and so she's worried. But at the same time, it's really tough because I feel like this is what I should do. I feel like this is what I am called to do. It's what I want to do. And because I'm an only child and was raised by my single mother, what she says matters a lot. And so it's just really hard to know that she does not approve of my decisions, even at 37 years old. So that conversation went as well as it could have gone, which is not well. She basically was like, you know, I think you should say no, and this is a terrible idea, and I'm not going to be around to help you. And I basically said, I know that is your opinion, and I'm not going to try to change your mind, but you're also not going to be able to change my mind. And that was sort of that. So it stinks. I wish she was excited and happy, but she is not. And then I also texted the gentleman that I am now dating and told him. And we've talked about this before. It's just a really awkward thing because, you know, we're very early in our relationship. And while we are both, you know, dating each other with the intention of this being a serious thing and eventually leading to marriage, because, you know, we're both in our late 30s and that's what we want, we're still very early into this. And so, you know, we haven't been together long enough for me to ask him what he wants to do. You know, if we were married, right? If we were married or even engaged, we would make this decision together, but we're not. So it's still my decision. So it's too early to really like ask him what he wants to do. But at the same time, it's serious enough that I don't want to not ask him at all, because it will affect him. It will affect him in the short term because I will be perhaps slightly less available or more tired or juggling more when he's around, which isn't always fun for a significant other. And it could affect him in the long haul because, as we all know, sometimes foster children turn into forever children. And while that's not the intention of foster care, obviously it happened with Jack. you know, we thought maybe he would stay a few weeks and then maybe a few months and then he stayed forever. So the decisions that I make today could impact the rest of my life and therefore the rest of his life. And so it's a really interesting position to be in. And by interesting, I mean frustrating place to be in, an awkward place to be in, because what you're really asking is, hey, I think I'm going to say yes to this newborn. And that means that if our relationship goes the way we want it to, you're going to be the father to this newborn. Or, you know, however old she is by the time, you know, that would happen. And so it's just a very weird conversation to have just a few months into a relationship of like, I'm going to get a baby. What do you think? Because if it works out a certain way, this is going to be your daughter. So it's weird to navigate it. And I've never had a serious enough relationship to really run it by them. I have dated guys while I fostered, for sure, but no one that was serious enough for me to frankly care what they wanted me to do in terms of saying yes or no to a placement, and certainly no one that I thought I was going to end up marrying. I was dating somebody pretty seriously when I first decided to foster, but by the time I was getting ready to accept placements, I knew it probably was not going to end up in something, you know, super, super serious. So again, this is the first time that I've really had to consider seriously what my significant other would want me to do. And it's just a weird position. So yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange. So we'll see. And I don't know what he's going to say. So we'll see what he has to say about that. And I don't know that whatever he says would have impacted my decision, to be frank, because again, it is so early in the relationship. And you know, it's just weird. It's really weird to date and to foster at the same time. So usually at this time I would be going to get whatever supplies I might need, getting diapers, getting clothes, getting formula, etc. But we actually have all of that stuff on hand. So I am pretty well set. So what I plan on doing tonight is just my normal chores, doing laundry, you know, watching RuPaul's Drag Race. But I'm going to try to get as much sleep as I can tonight, because tonight could be my last night of sleep before I get a newborn. Or, you know, maybe I get her on Sunday, so I might get two more nights of sleep. But I'm just going to try to stay really on top of chores, on top of laundry, not let the dishes pile up, not stay up too late, so that if I do get the call tomorrow and they say, okay, she's ready, come pick her up, I will be ready to do that. So yes, I will come back and fill you in more when I hear from the hospital social worker. So stay tuned. Okay, guys, so it is now Saturday and I am on my way to the hospital to pick up little baby girl. And we're just going to call her Maggie for her nickname. So I got a call from the hospital social worker this morning, and she said that Maggie was ready to go today. So, excuse me, coughing. I swear I don't have COVID. I just swallowed wrong. So my cousin and my cousin's husband came over and they are playing with Jack while I go to the hospital, and Jack like worships them. So he is already having a ton of fun. He was not at all upset about me leaving. So he'll have a really good time today. And I'm headed down to the hospital. So when I get there, the baby has to do a car seat study. And for those of you who don't know, if a baby is, I think, smaller than like 6 pounds, they have to do this thing where they put the baby in a car seat, in the car seat that you're going to be taking them home in, and they basically just leave them there for 2 hours, and they monitor their breathing just to make sure that they can maintain their heart rate and maintain their breathing in the car seat position, since, you know, sometimes their chins can get a little smushed, and sometimes that can cut their airway off if their neck is kind of floppy. So yeah, it's kind of boring. Usually the baby sleeps for 2 hours and you just stay in a room while they put the baby in the car seat. So I brought a book and a charger for my phone, because this is not my first rodeo, and snacks. So we'll do the car seat study, and sometimes the hospitals will make you like go through this little tutorial or test of like basic baby care. They'll have you do a feeding and change diapers and sometimes even do a bath. But usually when I go in there and I'm like, yeah, I've done this X number of times, then they're like, okay, we'll just skip it. So I am pretty confident that since this is baby number 10, they won't make me do that, but we will see. So hopefully it'll be pretty quick and we can get in and out. Obviously the car seat study will take some time, but hopefully there's not a lot of other delays besides that. And then we are going to go home. And right now I'm feeling pretty good. I feel actually very calm, which usually I don't feel super calm at this point. Usually I'm panicking. But I think since I've had, you know, almost 24 hours of notice, that's why I'm so calm. Because typically it's, you know, you get a call, you say yes, you get the baby within the hour. So just having an entire, you know, evening and 24 hours almost of knowing and preparing has been great. I picked up a few more little outfits from Target, and I got to get all the baby stuff out of the storage room and put it around the house where it needs to go. And I filled up the little diaper caddy with diapers and wipes and cream, and got in my last shower for probably a while. So I think I feel really good because I'm just like really, really prepared, or at least as prepared as you can be. Nothing can actually prepare you for having a newborn and a three-year-old, or just having a newborn, period. Excuse me. But as prepared as I can be. And mom came over for a little bit today, and even though, of course, she would still not choose for me to continue fostering, she, you know, wasn't angry or holding it against me. So I think I also feel good because I know even if she's not really excited about it, she's not going to just like give me the silent treatment. So that makes me feel good. And then just knowing that my cousins are with Jack right now and that he's having a really great time. Everything's just kind of falling into place as much as it can. So that is what is happening now. I am excited and nervous, and we'll see. So I think right now I'm most nervous about just how bedtime is going to go. And obviously I'm nervous about sleep. hopefully I am not a zombie when I talk to you guys, after our first night. So I will update you all again once we are home and settled, or it might be tonight once we're home and settled, because I don't know how much time I'm going to have to give an update with a three-year-old and a newborn, but eventually I'll let you guys know how our first, day has gone. So, all right, here we go. About to meet baby. Okay, everyone. So I have a special guest with me, Jack. Can you say hi, Jack?
Hi.
And right now, baby Maggie is sleeping, so I thought I'd catch up with you guys. It's our second day together. Jack, what do you think of baby Maggie? Is she cute?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing about baby Maggie?
Playing with her.
Playing with her, yeah. And you're a big helper, aren't you?
Yeah.
What do you do to help mommy with the baby?
Feed a bottle.
You feed her a bottle? That's right. And you were singing her a lullaby earlier too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What lullabies were you singing? Were you singing Twinkle Twinkle? Okay. Well, yeah. Should we tell our friends bye-bye?
Bye.
Say bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
So remember when I was going to record an episode or part of an episode after our first night or during our first night with little baby Maggie? That was really ambitious of me and did not happen. We are now on day, let's see, Saturday, Sunday. We are now on day 4, and I'm just getting around to this update. So that will tell you how it's going. No, it's actually going so great. But before I tell you how it's going now, I will back up a little bit on what I didn't fill you in on. So on Saturday, I went to the hospital, as you heard previously, me driving to the hospital, and they had to give her the car seat test. So I was there for 2 hours. Really glad I brought the book. They put me in this little cozy parent waiting room, just this little waiting room for one person, and the lights were dim, and there was this comfy couch. And for about 2.5 hours, I just read a book, and I started a book, and I'm almost more than halfway through it now. And I just really enjoyed those 2.5 hours because I realized that that is going to be the last time that I have 2.5 hours to myself for a very long time. So I did that, and then the nurse came in and she was like, okay, she's ready to go. And that was the first time I saw her, and she was so tiny. I was like, where is the baby? So she was just barely 5 pounds at birth, and then lost a few ounces the first couple of days in the hospital. So, and she still actually has not hit the 5 pound mark yet still, even though she's put on a few additional ounces, she's still a little tiny peanut. So she was just so itsy bitsy, teeny tiny. And I was joking with the nurse and I'm like, I feel like I'm taking home a guinea pig and not a baby. And like, I'm afraid if I put her down, I'm going to misplace her because she's just so small. For comparison, size comparison's sake, there is currently a cucumber in our refrigerator that is bigger than she is. The cucumber is longer than Miss Maggie. So she's just like such a little tiny nugget. But Jack was so excited. He immediately jumped into the big brother role, and he has been really great. He's been giving her a bottle, obviously with my very close supervision, and he always asks to hold her. And he'll go over to her little swing and talk to her and hold her hand and kiss her face. And the first thing he does when he wakes up is he asks where she is. So he is so great. And he's so proud of himself. He keeps going, "I'm a big brother babysitter." And it's just so sweet. So far, he hasn't really had any jealousy issues, which has been good. And he's actually been a really big help. Like, he'll run and get me a diaper or get me wipes. And so I'm thinking like a 3.5 year age difference is a great way to go, because he's been a fantastic little helper. The first night was a little bit rough, just because, you know, I didn't know her and we didn't really have a routine or a schedule. And so she was up about every hour and a half. And at about 5 o'clock in the morning, I felt like I had seen every hour, because I did see every hour. And I was really dizzy and just the kind of exhausted where your eyes are dry and burning and they hurt. And I thought, how am I going to get through this? Like, I forgot how rough this is. But the past two nights have been amazing. In fact, I've had to wake her up in the middle of the night to have her eat. Because after the first night, when she was waking up every hour and a half, I obviously was like, okay, well, this is just how it's going to go. But then the second night, I fell asleep. I fed her and fell asleep. And then I woke up in the middle of the night and 4 hours had gone by. And I was like, oh my gosh, she has been asleep for 4 hours and she was still sleeping. But because she is so tiny and needs to gain weight, they don't want me to go any more than like 3.5 hours without feeding her. So anyway, I've been setting my alarm, just because I think she would probably sleep for like 4.5 hours if I let her, which is why she's so tiny. So I've actually been getting pretty decent sleep, if decent sleep is 3.5 hours at a time. But honestly, I was waking up twice a night anyway, because Jack has been going through this phase for like a couple of months now where he gets up about twice a night. So, it really isn't all that much worse than what I was doing before. And thankfully, for the past two nights, Jack has not woken up in the middle of the night. It's like the two of them got together and had a conversation and they were like, okay, she's gonna lose it if both of us wake up all night. So like, okay, we'll let Maggie take the next couple of nights. And Jack has decided he'll wait and cause trouble later on. Oh, do we hear a little baby sounds there? She's in the carrier. I'm holding her in the carrier right now. So she's just been so great. She's not a crier. I think I've heard her cry once for like half a second. She just makes these adorable little snuffly baby sounds. And she's just starting to kind of open her eyes and look around. And she's had some great little gassy smiles that are adorable. We had our first middle of the night blowout last night that required a full change of clothes for her. So it's been going really, really fantastic. And we had our checkup today and she's doing great. So everything is going really well, which is fantastic. There was supposed to be court today for her. And then I never heard back from the caseworker about, they're still doing court virtually. And so I was supposed to get the conference call line so that I could attend virtually. But I never heard back from the caseworker with that. So I don't know if court actually happened today and nobody told me about it, which would not be surprising, or if for some reason court did not happen today. So I'm not sure what is going on with her case. Just from what I have been told about mom's history and some other siblings that are in care, it sounds like this will be a long-term placement, but you just never know. You know, there have been placements that you think are only going to be a couple of days and it turns out to be forever. And then I've had placements where they thought it was going to be a really long time and they stayed a couple of days. So I have no idea, but we are just so in love and we're really tired, but we're doing good. I am not taking a maternity leave yet, so I will probably wait a couple of months just to try to get a feel for how long she'll be with us, because I don't want to necessarily take all of the maternity leave I'm entitled to for the year if, you know, she's going to leave soon anyway. So I have been working full time as usual, And because, you know, she's at that age where they're just sleeping 99% of the time, the nanny just watches Jack, and then I just keep little Maggie in my home office with me, and she just kind of snoozes the day away by my side, my tiny little sleeping assistant. So that's been a smooth transition for now. I'm kind of already stressing about the back to school time. So finding a daycare for her or finding a nanny, probably a daycare rather than a nanny, and then figuring out, okay, I've got to find a daycare that's close to Jack's school when he starts in August, when he starts preschool in August, and then how am I going to handle like that morning routine, and just already sort of stressing out about juggling that. And I think I'm probably going to take my maternity leave around that time. So my plan is that I will take it in August and September. And then that way, when Jack does start school and she starts going to daycare, I at least don't have to worry about the stress of work while I am trying to navigate that new normal and that new routine. So that's the plan. We'll see how that goes. And then I also went ahead and got a night nanny for one night a week. So I've talked about this in the past, I believe. It's just really hard to have a newborn on your own because you don't have someone to alternate night feedings with. You're the one who's up every 3 hours for months at a time. And then with Jack and not taking a leave, you know, I know that it just really gets to my mental health and my physical health to be that exhausted for that long. So I've used this night nanny service before. It is amazing. It's really expensive. It's basically the equivalent of paying for like a fancy hotel night. That's what it feels like. Like, okay, I'm paying for someone, a baby specialist, to come here and watch her during the night. It's basically like I'm booking a night at the Ritz-Carlton in terms of how much it costs. But, you know, it's worth it when it's your mental health and your physical health and your job performance. So the night nanny will come at 9 o'clock at night, one night a week. And when she gets here, I just kind of, you know, set her up with baby and the bottles and let her know when her last feeding was. And then the night nanny sleeps in the guest bedroom. A lot of people ask if the night nanny stays up all night. No, she does not. She sleeps. But she's the one who gets up with the baby instead of me so that I can get at least one good night of sleep a week. And then the night nanny sort of logs all of her feedings and helps to get her on a schedule as she gets a little bit older. And then she leaves at 6:30 in the morning, and that's the routine. And at first I thought it would be weird to have kind of a stranger sleeping in the house with me. But the service is so fantastic. They do really sort of intensive background checks, criminal background checks, reference checks. They have extensive training. They're really specialized in newborn care. And the night nanny that I used with my first placement was amazing. I mean, just such a lifesaver. And I actually really loved knowing that there was another adult in the house with me because, you know, being a solo parent is kind of isolating. And especially now that I'm working from home, like I literally don't have any adult interaction. So even though I wasn't interacting with her really, except for when she first arrived and when she left, it was just kind of comforting to know that there was another adult in the house. And I really would just start counting down the hours until it was the night that my night nanny would come. So very excited for her to start. So that will be amazing. And I think those are our updates here. So hopefully little Miss Maggie continues giving me 3.5-4 hour baby sounds. Yeah, baby sounds, stretches at night, and then I think we'll be doing really good. And we're just so thrilled to have her, and we love her so much already, and she's just so gorgeous, you guys. Her little black curls that she has, they're just, her hair is so beautiful. So that's it. So if you have any questions about foster care or adoption or navigating a placement, I'd love to hear them. Happy to answer them and provide any input that I can. I've really appreciated all the messages I've received on Instagram and all of the questions. I'm really trying to respond to all the questions that I get because I love hearing from you, particularly those of you who are considering being a foster parent I know I'm slower than I should be. So if you haven't heard back from me, please bear with me. I promise I'm not ignoring you. I'll try to get around to them. But as always, you can send any questions you have to me, elizabeth.friedland@gmail.com. You can also shoot me a message on Instagram @efriedland. And thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.